WGNS reminds you that election season is on us and early voting starts on the 19th. And so we're continuing our coverage of giving you information about the candidates. This morning, we're going to be looking at the State House of Representatives, District 48. And we have the two persons that you'll be looking at to serve in this position. Dr. Brian Terry is with us. He is a Republican, and he is the incumbent of the State House, District 48. Good morning to you.
Thank you for having us on.
Good to have you with us today. Justin Miller is also here. And he is the Democratic candidate this morning. Justin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have both of you with us. And why don't we start out with giving both of you an opportunity to tell a little about yourselves so that we can all have a better feel of who you are and why you should be the one who serves us. And we will start at this time with the incumbent, Dr. Brian Terry, and then as we close, we'll flip-flop it around, and Justin, you'll have the chance to have the first word on that. Dr. Brian Terry.
Well, thank you for having us on this morning. Again, so I'm Dr. Brian Terry. I am a local physician. Luckily, I was able to get here, get away from the hospital. I'm married to my wife, Cheryl. We have two children, Braden and Breeley. I'm a Christ follower, and I attend World Outreach Church. I kind of have a unique background for somebody that's in office. I am an anesthesiologist, a physician at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. We also work at the surgery center across the street and at Trust Point. I've served on the Physicians Excellence Committee at the hospital. Also serve as our HIPAA compliance officer and Medicare compliance officer. I've taught residents. I've taught nurse anesthesia students. And I'm an affiliated assistant professor at UT Graduate Medical Education. And own my own small, I'm a small business owner with our medical practice. A few things about me. Back when I was a medical resident, I ended up, I was there in Oklahoma City when the bombing occurred, and I helped take care of victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. So I have seen domestic terrorism. Being a physician now, I didn't grow up in a medical family. I'm actually third generation auto salvage. Grew up, both my parents and my grandparents worked in and then eventually owned an auto salvage. At 13, I began working down in our auto salvage. At 16, I started driving our delivery truck. So, I've been about as blue-collar as they come. Also grew up with a family farm. It was a horse farm. I say was because it was destroyed in a F5 tornado in 2013. So, I've dealt with the repercussions of natural disasters as well. Another tidbit about me is that my mother and my children are all members of the Choctaw Nation. I'm currently the only tribal member at the General Assembly. So from blue collar to white collar to farming, I've got a pretty diverse background and a lot of diverse experiences that help me relate to folks in the district, as we have a pretty diverse district. I started to run for office in 2013, won in 2014, and really it was to help make a difference for my children and their generation. I saw a lot of failures from a local level all the way up to the national level, really on both parties at being advocates for my children and their generation, and for citizens to have a voice. In my 2 years that I've been up there, I feel like I've done the things that I said that I would do. When I ran for office, I said I was going to involve our districts and our citizens in the process. I'm a self-governance candidate, which means I've been trained in educating citizens and getting citizens involved to exert their civic authority. And that rang quite well with the constituents of District 48. And I won in 2014 by a 2/3 margin. So in the 2 years I've been there, I've done exactly what I said I'd do done what the vast majority of voters had sent me to do. In the process, I've been awarded the 2015 Legislator of the Year. I was named a Taxpayer Hero. I was awarded the Family Champion Award. I was elected by my peers up there to be the co-chair of the Bipartisan Freshman Caucus, and I've been endorsed by many other groups. But most importantly, this election is about the district and the people that it represents. And as they say, all politics is local, and being self-governance trained and being able to educate and get citizens involved in the process, I think is what's allowed me to be effective. And, you know, when you have proven effectiveness, when someone says they'll and does what they say they'll do, then I don't think there's any reason to vote for somebody else. And that's why I ask for everybody's continued support in their vote. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Brian Terry, who is the incumbent, and he's a member of the Republican Party. By the way, let me go ahead and mention this. In just a little while, we will open the phone lines, and you can ask questions of these two persons. You can ask questions in two ways. You can text your question to us, and you can also talk to us, whichever you prefer. And the same number for both, texting and talking. The number to call, and call now if you would, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. If you have a question you want to text, you can just send that. And that probably might be the easiest way, rather than putting you on hold. If you could text us, 615-893-1450, or if you don't text, and a lot of folks don't text, we can take those calls verbally. Let's hear now about Justin Miller, who is the Democratic candidate. Justin, good to have you with us this morning.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having us, and I want to thank Dr. Terry here for coming today. I think that debating and having these forums and showing that, you know, I think we live in a world right now where both political parties are so far divided that, I mean, you watch the body language of the two candidates in the debate last week of just they didn't want to be in a room together. So I think it says a lot about our race and about Rutherford County and about our values that we can be here today discussing the issues. A little bit about me. I was born and raised right here in Rutherford County. I'm married to my high school sweetheart, Mackenzie, and together we have a 3.5-year-old daughter named Caroline, who we love and adore. I decided to get into politics. I went from somebody who followed politics, watched what was going on in our nation, watched what's going on in our state, and was so disgusted by the whole thing that I didn't even want to be involved in it whatsoever. Even to the point where I didn't even go to the polls. I wasn't interested. After I had a daughter, after I started kind of watching what was going on in our state on a lot of social levels and the threats that our education system faced, I decided to jump in, and it's been an interesting ride. Since April, we've gotten a lot of support. We're really finding that as we get out there, people are just looking at the political system, looking at how our state government works, and it's just not working for them anymore. And it's not the values that are coming out of Nashville just simply aren't ours. So I decided to get involved because there were some things that really, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, as time goes on here today, but there were some things that were very important to me. There were groups of people that I cared very deeply about, and still do, who I don't feel like have a voice. So that's me in a nutshell. You know, I think that as we move forward into November and with early voting starting next Wednesday, it's, you know, what I think we're going to see in this state is a lot of people coming out and saying, you know what, we're ready for something different. We're ready for a government that works for us again. And that's really all we're trying to accomplish here. As I've said from the very beginning of this, I'm not running against a candidate. I technically am running against Dr. Terry here, but I'm not out running against him for any reason other than I just want to see something different. I'm running for the people of Rutherford County.
Thank you very much. That was Justin Miller, the Democratic candidate for the State House District 48. Now, let's start with some phone calls. We have some text messages also. The lines are full with questions. And let me explain. We do this different from normal forums. This question is for anybody who wants to answer it. If you choose not to answer it, just don't say anything. So easy enough. No sense in complicating things. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Could you give us your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Mr. Ed. I've got questions for both of them. I'm a retiree. What can you do to help me live on retired Social Security and a pension in the state of Tennessee when you get up there, that you can help us not have so much tax on us and try to, in a medical aspect of that too, to cut the cost on medical bills that when we go to the doctors and hospitals. What can you do? Do you have plans for this to help us retirees? That's my question, basically.
Very good. Thank you for calling, by the way. Anyone want to jump on that one?
Sure. You know, what he's talking about, this is what, you know, when I've gone out and talked to a lot of folks door-to-door and at the fish fries or the ham breakfast, a lot of people are on fixed incomes, and that's their concern. You know, Tennessee is one of the lowest tax states in the country, and, you know, I'm sure this will come up later on, but one of the issues that we're going to be dealing with that they brought up last year had to do with potential increase in the gas tax. And, last year there was a new and recurring surplus of $750 million. And I had, some groups of people that came to me in my office and said, that if we increase a gas tax, that it would, it was going to be, for every cent or so, it was like $7.50 per citizen. Or per driver. And my question to them was, as a state, if we have $750 million recurring, why should I go back and ask my my constituents who are on a fixed income to pay any more than they currently are? Shouldn't we use some of that new recurring money? And one of the things I did this past year, of course, I was unable to get it out of the committee system, but I did have a plan that I presented in the budget that would use some of that money to go towards transportation. If it was new and recurring, why not use that towards transportation as opposed to raising a gas tax and hurting these people on fixed incomes?
Very good. That was Dr. Brian Terry, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we do hear a lot, especially from retirees, is, they say this, my earning power is limited, my income is fixed, and it just doesn't stretch as far as it once did. I think that he touched on, the caller touched on lowering Medicare costs. That's something that we had the opportunity to do this past, and still do have the opportunity to do, is introduce and pass Governor Haslam's Insure Tennessee. We have watched as Medicare systems, our insurance companies are starting to pull out of our state, and it's a nightmare. And it's depending on what side you look at, each side blames it on each other. On the right, they blame it on Obamacare. On the left, they blame it on not passing stuff like Insure Tennessee, not enacting Obamacare, not opening up the market and giving ourselves the opportunity to take the over $1 billion that we could get if we passed Insure Tennessee from the federal government to start trying to lower costs all around. Listen, Obamacare is not perfect by any means. I never have claimed it is. What it did do is it got rid of pre-existing conditions, and it gave people the opportunity to be insured that did not previously have that. And I think that's a huge step in the right direction. But I think that states like Tennessee need to start finding ways to, instead of just saying no, we're not passing Insure Tennessee, trying to find ways to work with it with our citizens to say, all right, we understand that this is a huge issue for you. I spoke with a woman the other night who is losing her health care coverage, and with Blue Cross Blue Shield pulling out, and instead of just saying, well, that's awful, too bad, we need to find solutions for that. And I think that starts by just having the conversation and kind of getting rid of partisanship and just saying, what can we do to come together to make this work for everyone?
If I can interject there for a second, I want to touch on, Insure Tennessee and options and things that are out there. One of the things that is a plan that And it would all really depend on who, how much flexibility we would get from the federal government. Hillary Clinton has actually said that she might be willing to work in order to do some plans. And then, of course, Donald Trump would allow us to have block grants, which would allow us a lot more flexibility in how we do with our insurance. But TennCare right now, there is a plan out there that if we could get the right people elected at the federal level to allow us to do this, it's called TennCare opt-out. And really, it's point of care, where the patients would have the ability to have their own card, and essentially you are cutting out the middleman of that. And they project maybe 10% or so of the cost of TennCare can be saved. And by doing that, you can insure a lot more people and those that have fallen into the coverage gap without increasing taxes, without increasing our national debt. Those are some of the options that we can look at. In 2015, there were things like working to try to get those that weren't covered for veterans. And there was a plan that was floated out, but the feds shot that down as well. One thing that I was able to do, I passed what's called the Mission Tennessee for Veterans Act. And we have, our military, they go on missions around the world. And we have physicians and healthcare providers that go on missions around the world. Why can't we do that here in Tennessee? And with the Mission Tennessee for Veterans Act, what we are allowed to do now is at our Tennessee armories, they can do health care for veterans and those communities. It's covered by malpractice because it's on the armory as well. So those are some innovative ways that we've gone about to try to deal with health care costs.
And that was Dr. Brian Terry. Let's give an equal opportunity for people who are calling as well as those texting. Here is a text question. The person says, I live very close to the landfill here in District 48. I was wondering what the candidates can do to reduce the smell for many residents around the landfill. Anyone want to jump on that?
Yeah, I'll jump on that. that's actually was one of my big issues that I've worked with. Last year, I'd worked with a group called Sockham and some other local residents, and I filed a bill that would have allowed me and other legislators to do inspections of landfills, and got all the delegation to sign on board. In the interim, I got Republic, who owns the landfill, and TDEC, the Department of Environment Conservation, together in a room and worked out a solution with them for the community to have a voice. And, that's what they sent me up there for, is to have a voice. And so what I do is I go on random landfill inspections with TDEC. And, in fact, I'm scheduled to go on one next week. Republic has done a better job of dampening some of those smells. They've increased their linear footage of their misting system. They've got... they've introduced different types of mist where they can dampen it. I think there's like evergreen, honeysuckle, lemon trees, different things for different seasons. Some of the things that you smell out there that I hear complaints about, one of them is going along the bridge there in Walter Hill, and when they're driving into town in the morning. And a lot of that has to do with what's called the breach in the morning. And basically, they have cells that they have to fill with waste, and at night they put dirt on top of that. Well, if that cell's not completely full, where they can get it all encapsulated, in the morning they have to take that dirt off and do what's called a breach. And that's like your trash can when you take it outside, when you lift the lid up on that, there's a big odor that you get. Well, that's essentially what you get in the breach. And there's, from an engineering standpoint, I don't know that there's anything they can do to dampen that. Now, a week or so ago, I got a complaint off of Compton Road in the reserve. And every now and then they have some smells that are pretty significant around there, and it does get blamed on the landfill. But there's several pumping stations from the city along there and some pop-off valves, and a lot of the smell is from the city sewer that goes through there, or it could be from the city of Murfreesboro or the town of Smyrna from driving in sludge at different times of the day. So not every smell is from the landfill, but when it is, we get it checked out. The thing that I did that week, not only did I go out there and check it out myself, it was like 9:30 at night. I'm out there doing this for constituents. And what we did find was that the county landfill, actually, there was a smoky smell out there as well. And they had a T-deck came out that next day on my request. And the county landfill was actually doing some burning that they weren't supposed to be doing. And that was the smell. And they had a couple of violations for that, and they got written up. So for me, I'm very proactive in this, doing what the constituents want. I think there was a news article about some limestone and some not having a permit. And that's something that next week when I go to the random landfill inspection, I'll be able to address a little bit more.
That was Dr. Brian Terry.
Well, I actually I live out in that area. I live in between Walter Hill and Las Casas. So the landfill is something that's on my mind every day because I drive by it twice. To his credit, Representative Terry really has upon the request of Sockham, who I've also worked with through this campaign, through their request, has gone and done some things with that. But the smell's still there. We keep hearing that there is no smell. We're getting no complaints. A lot of that is because the people of that area just are tired of complaining, me being one of them. Nothing ever gets done, it doesn't seem like. And when I look at the inspection reports from TDEC, TDEC is a prime example of an agency that needs more oversight. They went 10 years blasting limestone, just as he just said. 10 years blasting limestone without a permit. TDEC was on their grounds. They knew what was going on, yet nothing ever changed. Nothing ever happened. It wasn't addressed. So to the point where I've felt the blasts at my house. I mean, it's damaging homes in the neighborhoods closest to the landfill. So it's easy to look at it and say, hey, yeah, things are getting better, but there still needs to be more oversight of TDEC, I believe. I think that we need to look more at them and say, hold them to a higher standard, more than just we call them random inspections. They're not completely random. And frankly, Republic is allowed to keep their own books and just turn it over to TDEC when they come. They're not held to really many standards right there. So I think that is something that needs to, regardless of who wins this race, whoever it is, we need to really work to stay on top of TDEC and make sure that Republic is doing the right thing and the TDEC's doing the right thing.
And that was Justin Miller. Let's take another call. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Marty Laughlin calling, and as usual, I've got a question and a comment, and I've got an opinion. I would like to hear from the candidates. I am anti-abortion, 100% anti-abortion, except in extreme cases. Now, my question is, Hillary Clinton, a candidate, has said that she is going to allow abortions up to the day of delivery, or the time of delivery or time of birth. And I would like to know what each candidate thinks about this right here. And secondly, I'd like to hear their opinions on gun control.
Okay, thank you. Who would like to tackle that one first?
I'll go ahead. Those are the big two. Being a Democrat, those are the first things that I hear when I'm out on the campaign trail. I think this is one of those issues that, or at least abortion is, that I think Dr. Terry and I have more in common than we do. There's more that joins us here than what separates us. I am pro-life. I've answered that question to a lot of people, much to the chagrin of some that support me. But it's just, to me, when I became a father, I realized that every life is precious. But every life is precious. We can't just say before that baby's born that their life is precious and then not be ready to take care of that child if the mother's unable to. And so that's where I look farther at it, or farther into the future with that. You know, nobody likes the idea of abortion. Even the people I know that are pro-choice, they're not pro-abortion. That's one of the biggest misnomers that has ever been said. Nobody enjoys the thought of that or the idea of that. what we have to do is find, and this is where I think Representative Terry and I start to differ on this issue, is to me, you prevent abortions. You don't outlaw them. You prevent them. Because if we outlaw them, that we open ourselves up to a lot of different types of issues going forward. We hear the term back alley abortions. We hear of women trying to do it themselves and not only losing the baby, but losing their own lives. Instead, I would rather see us give more access to birth control to men and women, better education moving forward from a time of sexual maturity where we say, listen, these are the consequences. This is what happens. This is what we open ourselves up to if you decide to get into an adult relationship. I'll try to keep it PG. If you find yourself in an adult relationship, these are the consequences for that. And I believe that, you know, this is an issue that is so divisive between the parties that doesn't have to be. If we can just work together, I think we can really find some common goals. Now, gun control. I am 100% behind the Second Amendment. I think if you are a law-abiding citizen, you have every right in the world to own a gun. It's the Second Amendment. I'm fine with that. I personally am not a gun guy. It's because I'm really clumsy. I know that could end poorly. But I do believe that we need to close the gun show loophole. I do believe we need to close the internet loophole. And I do believe that we need to pass laws, common sense laws like Michaela's law that was struck down in committee this past year, which basically held gun owners accountable if a child got a hold of their gun. It's very simple. If a kid gets behind, if I leave the keys in my truck in the parking lot across the street, and a child gets in that truck and hurts somebody, kills somebody, or hurts themselves, I'm criminally responsible because that's criminal negligence. Same thing with a gun. And the reason that, I don't know the reason why that seems so hard to get across. So I think common sense gun laws you can make without infringing on anyone's Second Amendment rights whatsoever.
Yeah, that was Justin Miller.
Yes. On the first question about abortion, you know, people that know me know that I'm 100% pro-life. To touch on an issue, you know, he talked about Hillary Clinton being for, you know, abortion up to, you know, the time of delivery. You know, my son, he was born 5 weeks early, and, you know, he's now, you know, a sophomore in college. And basically what she's saying is that, you know, she's okay with termination of life for somebody like him. And I 100% disagree with that. You know, for me, about protecting all life. You know, my opponent here talked about, you know, finding common goals. I'm going to tell something that a bill that I passed this past year, you know, there was an issue with, you know, Planned Parenthood, and there's some videos about, you know, whether they were selling fetal tissue and how that was going. This past summer, when all that came out, I went up to the Capitol and I sat down with the governor's staff and discussed the issue with them, and they had come up with their own bill. And while I was looking at our Tennessee code, I found that there was an issue that with photography, research, or experiments on fetal tissue, it said that there needed to be consent of the woman. It didn't have anything like written consent. And, you know, being a physician, consent can be anything from a phone consent. It can be a general consent. There wasn't any paper trail. And so I talked with quite a few people about that issue. I talked to the governor's staff about that and got their support on a bill that would require it to be a written consent for research or experiments. And then the photography, there was question as to whether or not if somebody took picture or video in a Planned Parenthood and was going to be a whistleblower at that facility, whether or not they had immunity from that. And so the bill also allowed, if you thought that a federal or state law was being violated, that they would have whistleblower immunity. Well, I talked to the governor's staff, got their approval. Tennessee Right to Life, which is supportive of me, But I talked to them and got their support on that. But I also went across the aisle and I talked to Planned Parenthood, which as a Republican, that's also, you know, often taboo. And anytime any issue comes up, whether it's abortion or anything like that, in these committees, oftentimes, you know, the opposing party or whoever will tag a lot of different amendments on there, or just try to make you look bad or take a bad vote or whatever. And they actually agreed with me on my bill. And I said, well, you're going to have to, you know, help me lobby this bill. And as it turns out, they did. And so I had, you know, the governor's staff okay with it, Tennessee Right to Life and Planned Parenthood okay with it. And it was a bill on a very controversial issue that went through the House and the Senate without a no vote. And that's something that I think speaks volumes for being a statesman and being able to address those types of issues. The second question they talked about has to do with gun control. And, you know, I've been up there. I'm a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. I've been endorsed by the NRA. And, you know, there are bills like constitutional carry. Missouri just passed it. Arkansas just passed it. We have several states around us that have open carry that's without a permit. And that's part of the Second Amendment. And those are some of the things that that I do agree with.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Brian Terry. Now, let me mention on the text that you sent us, these need to be nonpartisan and for both sides to answer. So I'm going to try to take this next question and make it that way. We understand that there may have been some conversation among candidates to not debate and be in forums. And so we're asking you, do you feel it's important to be in forums and share your views with the voters and share your voting records? Either one of you.
I mean, yeah, I definitely think that they're very, very important. And that's why I thanked my opponent here, Representative Terry, for showing up today. You know, we've had, we've been approached. I know I have, and I believe he has, with several opportunities to participate in forums. One you read about in the Murfreesboro Post just this week about the League of Women Voters, where unfortunately we're not going to have not just our race, no races in the county are going to have a forum because both sides couldn't come to an agreement to be there. To my knowledge, all of us on the Democratic side agreed to it, and I know, and that's why. Try not to throw too many stones at Representative Terry here. I know he's a busy guy and he's got a busy schedule, but I do think it's important. I know that it's an inconvenience to do for a lot of folks that are running, but I think it's very important because, you know, it's more important to discuss kind of not only plans but things where we do see eye to eye, and places where we do disagree, or maybe we agree on the solution, but we have different ways of getting there. You know, more than you can do, because you can go on either one of our websites and look up our stances on, you know, 6 to 10 issues and try to make your decision there, or you can kind of see. I think it gives an opportunity to see temperament. Temperament's been talked about a lot in this presidential race, but I think that debates and doing things in person are extremely, extremely important. So, yes, I think that I wish it were a mandatory part of the process. I really do.
Very good. That was Justin Miller, by the way.
Thank you for the question. You know, for me, being a self-governance candidate, you know, the issue is educating citizens and getting citizens involved. So I think it is important to get out and talk to folks, whether it's in a forum or, you know, whether you go to a to the Las Casas Fish Fry or to the, you know, Kittrell Ham Breakfast, or, you know, whether you're out at the mall talking to folks or you know, door to door, you know, getting your message out and talking to people, you know, is a big deal. You know, when I got the invitation to this forum, you know, it was a week's notice. You know, I was on call last Wednesday, and I got an email from you saying that the time has been changed, and I sent an email back, and I was, my question was, what time has been changed?
I think you got that from both of us, because I did the same thing.
And I'm actually scheduled to have patient duties right now at the hospital, and I ended up having to rearrange my schedule on short notice. My luckily, one of my partners who's off today was able to come in and cover for me while I was able to make it here. As soon as we're done here, I'm right back to the hospital. So, as long as we can get the message out, I think we're doing what we need to do.
So obviously, both of you are very much for sharing information. Obviously. Let's take another call, and we are focusing this morning on the State House District 48. So no questions about any other issue. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whatever you guys do, make a difference, because politics is so embarrassing. If I had done one-tenth of what these guys have done, both of them would be under the prison. I'm talking about Clinton and Trump. Make a difference. If you're going to be a politician, let your no be no and your yes be yes.
Okay, do you have a question dealing with District 48?
My question is, will you make a difference? If not, you're wasting our time. We're sick of politics. Have a good day.
Thank you. Who would like to take that one?
That is the kind of passion that I have been running into. That guy right there, that is who I'm running for, because I felt the same way and still do feel the same way, that our politics in this country and in this state are embarrassing. Embarrassing. The laws that we have introduced, the things that we have made national headlines for, are embarrassing. Things like the bathroom bill, things like the counseling bill, and discriminatory laws that we introduce and pass in this state are an embarrassment to our state. They are not only that, but they are economically detrimental. Ask North Carolina, who has, by one estimate, lost $750 million already on House Bill 2. So, no, thank you for your passion, sir. And, yes, I will work to make a difference. I think that, with MTSU being in our district, we have so many new and exciting people moving to this area. We are so diverse, and we are becoming increasingly diverse. And we need to start making laws that welcome those people into here and that don't tell them, we don't want you here. Regardless of your age, race, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, we need to make sure that everybody has a place right here in Rutherford County.
I appreciate the call from the caller, and that was one of the reasons that I got involved. And one of the things I touched on in my opening statement was that I felt like there was a failure from local all the way up, state and federal level, of people in office to be positive and run and do things that make a difference and be a positive advocate. And as a self-governance candidate and legislator, that's one of the things that you're taught to do, is to build relationships with people and be a positive advocate. For me, I'm the only legislator to start and currently host a yearly Empowering Women's event. I think that's important, for women in our society to have an outlet and to be taught how to be, from other women that come in. And this week I'm going to be talking at the Urban Youth Leadership Conference here at Patterson Park, giving them talks on leadership and things that they can do within their community. I'm also going to be speaking this weekend at the Native American Indian Association powwow. So for me, outreach is a big thing. My first year in office, I worked with Central Magnet students. They have a contemporary issues class. I gave them a couple of bills to debate, and then they debated it, and then they voted on it, and I co-sponsored a bill for them, and they're the only students in the state that have had a legislator do that. MTSU students, one of my intern and some folks that he worked with at MTSU, I co-sponsored the Racial Profiling Prevention Act for them. Outreach to our youth, and I hosted an art contest for Rutherford County students, and I'll be doing that again this year. Those are some folks that it's not always they're not always touched on, they're not always encouraged to do what their passion is. And for me, being a positive advocate for that is something that I'm passionate about.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. What is your question about District 48?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Mr. Ed again. My question is to both of the candidates. Well, we have a two-party system, the Democrats and Republicans. What do you think, if there's some day in the local, all the way up to the federal, that there might be opportunity that when you do away with the two-party system, just say you stand for this and you stand for this, and that's it, and don't have all this political bickering and everything on the both parties, and just say I stand for this and you stand for that? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling.
I've actually given talks to MTSU and high school students and other folks about, the way that the system currently is. You do have two parties, but if you actually look at it, I think within each party, oftentimes you have the grassroots and then at the top you have the establishment or the haves, and when you look at people in general. I think that the vast majority, you talk about the silent majority, I think the vast majority of people want pragmatism over partisanship. Most people are center-right, from a moral perspective, whether they're Christian or what their background is. I think that, most people want their liberty. They want to be able to live their life as they choose and really don't want as many regulations or things along those lines. And then I think that most people do value business and government. They just don't want to be taken advantage of by big business and big government. So whether or not we'll get away from that, the system's pretty ingrained. But I think that speaking to the silent majority, I think, is something that you have to do, and as that type of candidate, I think that is something I do well.
Very good.
I would love to touch on that. I'll tell you, I am the local party here in this county has been fantastic to me. They have supported me from day one. They make me proud to be running as a Democrat, but in a lot of ways, that's kind of where party loyalty stops with me. If it's good for Tennessee, I'm for it. I don't care if a Republican or a Democrat introduces a bill or has an idea. If it's good for Tennessee and it's good for the people of Rutherford County, I'm for it. You know, we hear so much of, and we're starting to see it in the primaries this past year in August. We had here in Rutherford County a 6% voter turnout. That is abysmal. Actually, it was a little less than 6%. That's terrible. And it's a lot of people will say, well, we had two House seats, I believe. Yeah, two House seats that were contested, a Senate seat that was contested. And we were electing one of the most important elections that we've had in years is we were electing a new judge, which I think we made a great decision on that. But we had such low voter turnout that I think people would be much more willing and much more open if we did do away with the two-party system. I'm 100% for it. That's been the hardest thing with me is, and that's something that you'll hear moving forward, I'm sure throughout the rest of this campaign, is I've got a D by my name, so I'm immediately, they try to tie me with Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you something. I don't know those two. I've never spoken with them. I don't have any loyalty to them or any kind of ties to them. That race has nothing to do with me, but unfortunately, that's what the two-party system does, is it makes Democrats look at all Republicans and say, you're just like Trump, and it makes Republicans look at all Democrats and say, you're just like Hillary, and nobody's happy, and we fight, and we argue, and family dinners are made awkward. Work, you know, if you've ever been in a politics conversation at work, it doesn't always end well. So, yes, I'm absolutely 100% for getting rid of the two-party system.
Okay. Well, let's have one final question, and then we will do the wrap-up of the broadcast. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Hello there.
Hi. Hi. I've just got a quick question for the candidates. I'm very interested in women's rights. And when I say that, I mean especially the wage pay gap. My view on it is 2016. Why is my mom making $84 when my dad is, or I'm sorry, 84 cents when my dad is making a dollar? And what can you do to stop that?
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right. Obviously, I would like to, I would very much like to see that pay gap go away. We had that opportunity this year, but our, and not, this didn't involve Representative Terry. I don't believe you were in that committee, but it was shot down. We had that opportunity. And, you know, this is something that this is a real thing for me because I'm a real blue collar person. My wife is better educated, has been in her industry longer, and frankly is a lot smarter than I am. But I out-earn her nearly 2-1. She is more qualified for her job than I am mine. I out-earn her 2-1 almost. This is a real issue. This is, and that's in a marriage. We have got to start taking care of our single mothers. Because what we do is, let's say this, you've got a single mother. I talked to one the other day that had pulled herself out of the system, but was dependent on a government system to put food on the table for her daughter. And we call her a moocher. You know, meanwhile, she was working full-time, going to school at night, and still taking care of a child. So we need to start empowering our women. That's something that, you know, Representative Terry here touched on a minute ago, that he hosts an Empowering Women event once a year. I like to think that I live in a world where we don't have to empower women one day a year, that they are empowered every day. So we need to start doing more to close that gap. It's a very easy thing to do. It's simple. Women deserve the same wage as a man. It's not because, as Representative Susan Lynn said, they make their own decisions and they have decided that they want to earn less. I guarantee you they don't. So, yes, I thank you for the call, and I couldn't agree with you more that needs to change.
That was Justin Miller there.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the caller on this, and obviously with me hosting an Empowering Women's event, this is something that I do have concerns about. You know, those that are on Team Terry, a lot of my closest advisors, my best advisors, are women, you know, business women, attorneys, my spiritual member on Team Terry is a woman as well, you know. And so for me, as far as, you know, hosting an event, getting the message out, and getting women with that mindset, and to be able to teach them and have them, you know, learn from, you know, various people in the in society, I think is a good thing. You know, at our practice, you know, we have all walks of life as our nurse anesthetists and that work with us, and you know, we pay everybody the same. So you know, for me, it's leading by example on these issues, and that's what I've done.
Very good. Thank you both for being with us this morning. We're in the final segment now, where each one of our candidates will have an opportunity to wrap up and sort of neatly tie it all into a package and include anything that might have been left out. Let's flip-flop it. Dr. Terry started at the beginning, so Justin, let's start with you. Justin.
Absolutely.
Miller.
And once again, thank you for hosting this, and once again, big thanks to my opponent, Dr. Terry here, for coming and engaging me and really giving the people of the 48th District kind of a clearer picture of their candidates. You know, as we move forward into the next, we've got under 4 weeks now, we're going to see a lot more on a national scale where people, I think a lot of people feel throughout the nation, don't like either candidate on a national scale for president. And I would ask those people to not get discouraged. You know, there's so much that is important about these local races, the things that affect your daily lives, especially if you're a woman or you're a minority or you live a quote unquote alternative lifestyle. The laws that we make in this state really affect you more than anything. So I would encourage folks to not get into the fray, not get into the negativity, not get into the mudslinging and the back and forth, and just really pay attention to the issues and find the candidate, even if it's not me, even if you lean more towards Dr. Terry, then vote for him. That's fine, but vote. I went years not doing that, not realizing the importance of being a part of the democratic process. And if I could, I wish I could take that back. But I really would encourage folks to get out there and let their voices be heard in November.
That was Justin Miller, and now here is Dr. Brian Terry.
Well, I'd like to thank you for having us on this morning. Before I forget, I'd like to invite the listeners out to join Jim Tracy and me next Thursday for an event called Pigskins and Politics. It's a free barbecue out at the Las Casas Fire Department. Really pretty much a get-out-the-vote type event. But many of you listeners may know that our fire departments get their money from either a country ham breakfast or from their fish fry. And last month, several people at the Las Casas fish fry got sick, and they're still investigating the cause, and they weren't able to have that that event this month. And so, next Thursday from 5:30 to 8 p.m., drop in any time. We're encouraging people to donate, and all proceeds from that are going to go to help our volunteer fire departments in District 48. One thing I do want to let you know that you can see more, get more details about me or my positions at Dr. Brian Terry on Facebook or at BrianTerry410.com. In this election, you have two choices. You've heard from us today. I have a very diverse background, much like our district. I have a business-like process that I've used to find solutions. Very diverse group of qualifications as well, and the training to represent the people of our district, which I've done. I was named Legislator of the Year. I was named a Taxpayer Hero. I was named Family Champion. And as far as finding solutions, I was elected as co-chair of our bipartisan freshman caucus. Principles, qualifications, and results do matter, and I have proven that effectiveness in the district. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve as your state representative, and I humbly ask for your support when early voting starts next week.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Brian Terry, the Republican incumbent for the State House of Representatives, District 48. And that was our topic this morning, District 48. Thank you to Dr. Terry and to Justin Miller, the two people who are seeking this position. Remember, early voting starts on the 19th. That's just around the corner, starting on the 19th. For those of you who heard specific things in this broadcast and you wanted to listen again or share it with your friends, this will be in podcast format where you can listen at your convenience. It will be on our website, WGNSradio.com. Again, we encourage you to get out and vote. This is another political forum from WGNS. Proud to be your good neighbor station.